This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Today's the brassy day of our big, bombastic, brassy and trashy week. Tom Jones' big voice was backed up by lots of brass on some of his great over-the-top recordings like It's Not Unusual and What's New Pussycat, which started his career with a bang in 1965. The hits kept coming through the early 70s, including Thunderball, Green Green Grass of Home, Delilah, and She's a Lady. Jones made a comeback in 1987 when he collaborated with the group The Art of Noise on a cover of Prince's song Kiss. He made another comeback in 1999 with an album called Reload that went multi-platinum in the UK and Europe and featured his collaborations with performers like Van Morrison and the Cardigans. I spoke with Tom Jones late last year when a version of that CD, with the addition of several of his early hits, was released in the States.
Let's talk about your first hit, It's Not Unusual. And this kind of really sets the style for you. Like, you know, lots of brass, a big arrangement. And this is the era when we're talking about the Beatles, the Rolling Stones. This is 1965. In America, it was, you know, like the height of the British invasion. You know, Herman's Hermits, the Rolling Stones, Petula Clark, the Beatles are all on the hits, along with Motown. And you're coming along and doing this, like, really kind of brassy. It's not a guitar band. It's not a band of songwriters. Did you feel like you were going to be, like, sticking out like a sore thumb in a way, doing something really different?
No. What was happening was, when the guy that was recording me, Peter Sullivan, when he saw me in a club in Wales, he was looking for more rock material. Because I was singing, you know, the band that I had then were three guitars and drums, you know, lead guitar, rhythm guitar, bass guitar and drums. So I was singing more rock tunes, 50s rock tunes, you know, Jerry Lee Lewis things and Little Richard and Fats Domino, Chuck Berry, you know, that kind of, Elvis Presley, of course. So that's the kind of stuff that I was doing. Later, I was doing demonstration records for other singers because my manager was also a songwriter. So I would be doing demos for this music publishing company. And one day I did the song called It's Not Unusual, which my manager wrote for a girl called Sandy Shaw, who was having hits in England at the time. So when I heard it played back, I said, Gordon, you know, this, Gordon Mills, the man's name was, I said, this is, you know, this sounds like a hit to me. He said, yeah, but it's not rock enough for you. You know, it's a pop song. It's a mild song. So Peter Sullivan, my recording manager, said, look, if you're going to do this song, we've got to beef it up. We have to make it hotter than the song really calls for, you know, because it was more like a sort of a Brazil 66 type tune. So Peter said, what about brass? What if we put some brass in it? We need to beef it up because you're singing it, you know, you're singing it aggressively. We need the arrangement to complement that. So then Les Reed, who did the arrangement and co-wrote the song, put the brass on it. And that's, you know, the brass just played along to the Bayon beat that the bass drum of the bass drum was doing. So it made it more of an aggressive record because of my style of singing.
Well, why don't we hear it? This is Tom Jones' first big hit, It's Not Unusual, and it's included on his new CD, Reloaded Greatest Hits.
You want to be loved by anyone. It's not unusual. You want to have fun with anyone. But when I see you hanging about with anyone, it's not unusual. You want to see me cry. I want to die. It's not unusual. You want to go out at any time. But when I see you out, it's such a crime. If you should ever want to be loved by anyone, it's not unusual. It happens every day. No matter what you say, you'll find it happens all the time. Love will never do what you want to do. Why can't this crazy love be more?
That's Tom Jones. It's included on his new CD, Reloaded Greatest Hits, and includes old and new material. One of the things that apparently always happens at your concerts is that there are some women who throw their panties at you, throw them onto the stage. Do you remember the very first time that happened?
Yeah, it was in the Copacabana in New York in 1968. It was a supper club, and the singer is on the same the stage. The band is on the stage, but the singer is on the dance floor, which is at and all these tables, you know, tables and chairs all around you with the people. And I was perspiring a lot, so these ladies were handing me table napkins. And then this one woman stood up and took her underwear off and, you know, handed them to me. And it was written up in the newspaper the following day, and that's what started it. And that was in 68, and I went to Vegas the same year. And then the room keys, you know, started, because people that are in Vegas are staying in the hotels, and they have, you know, room keys in their handbags or their purses. So, you know, it was the stage would be showered with underwear and room keys. So that went on for quite a while. But, you know, when it first started, it was very sexy, because I don't think any woman had ever thrown underwear at a singer before. I don't think it ever happened before that, or for that matter, throwing a room key up there, you know. So it was very sexy at the time, but then it... You know, it became a bit of a joke, because people would bring underwear, you know, in handbags and just throw them up there, because they thought it was the thing to do. So it backfired on me a bit.
So when you started to think like it was backfiring, what did you do anything to try to stop it?
Well, I didn't. At the beginning, you know, I would pick them up and play around with them, you know, because you learn that whatever happens on stage, you try to turn it to your advantage and not get thrown by it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you'd work with it, you know. And but after a while, because it became, you know, it was happening so much, I decided not to do it. If they threw them at me, then just let them fall where they where they will, you know. So that's what's happened now.
I want to play another record. And this is Delilah. And this is another one of your really, like, big productions with, you know, like, big arrangement behind you. And you're, like, you're so passionate in this that you have to murder the woman.
Yeah. It was a song that was written by Les Reed, who co-wrote It's Not Unusual. And, you know, he wrote the song and played it to me, and I said, yes, it sounds great, you know, but it really is, it's a passionate song, because, you know, the man, as you say, actually kills the woman because she was unfaithful to him.
Let's hear the song. This is another one of Tom Jones' hits from the 60s, Delilah.
I saw the light on the night that I passed by her window. I saw the flickering shadows of love on her blind. She was my woman. As she deceived me, I watched and went out of my mind.
That's Tom Jones singing Delilah. It's one of his early recordings that's included on his new CD, Tom Jones Reloaded Greatest Hits, which also includes new recordings. I want to tell you a story about that song. Our director, Roberta, told me today that a friend of hers, when this friend was, I think, 13, she went to a big club in New Jersey, the Latin Casino, with her mother. She was wearing a yellow chiffon dress. This was like 1969. And they were going to hear you. And when you sang Delilah, this 13-year-old girl just felt kind of possessed and taken over. And she just, This is very out of character, apparently, but she approached the stage, walked up on it, and presented herself to you. And you apparently were very nice about the whole thing. You sang to her a little bit, gave her a little kiss, and then sent her back to her, back to her seat. Did this kind of thing happen a lot?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, people tried to get on stage. I mean, right up to today, you know, you have to have security there to make sure. But with children, you know, if a child comes to the stage, then you can't ignore that. So you do the best you can without making anybody embarrassed or anything. You know, you try to do it in the best way that you can. But I love kids. I love to see kids enjoying themselves in an audience. So, but you have to try and keep everything in perspective, you know. So that's what the security is there for.
Okay, time for another song. Now, this is another one of your big hits, What's New Pussycat? And the really funny thing about this song, it's your big novelty hit, but it's written by the brilliant and very sophisticated songwriting team of Burt Bacharach and Hal David. So this was a theme for a movie of the same name. How did you get to sing the title song?
Well, Burt Bacharach wanted, which he told me, you know, when I met him, he wanted a big voice to sing the song because it was for a Woody Allen film, and it was a crazy movie, and it's a crazy song, really. So he said, I need a big, solid voice to make this legitimate. You know, it needs to be done with conviction, and not, don't sing it lightheartedly. He said, if you do that, it won't work. You got to really, you know, dig into it and make a serious job of it. So that's why he asked me to do it, because he'd heard It's Not Unusual, you know, and like that. And the flip side of It's Not Unusual was a Burt Bacharach song called To Wait for Love, you know, which was a ballad. So I don't know whether he heard It's Not Unusual because he had the song on the flip side or not, but he liked the sound of my voice, and he thought I would be, you know, I would be right for What's New Pussycat. And
how did you like the song?
Well, when he first played it to me, I didn't like it because I couldn't quite, because it's a very unusual tune, you see. It's, so he played it on piano and he sang it to me when he was writing the music for the movie. He was doing it in London. And I couldn't understand it at first. It was alien to me, to the stuff that I'd been listening to. So, and I told him so. You know, I said, I can't make head or tail of this bloody thing. So he said, well, look, I'll make a demo of it. So the following day, he went into the studio and he made a demonstration record, just him and the piano, you know, doing it. And he said, live with it and listen to it. And then hopefully, you know, it'll hit you. And it did. So, but I still wasn't sure until I actually recorded it. We got into the studio at night. It was a night session. It was from midnight till 4 a.m. And when we came out with it, I knew what he was talking about. You know, I got it then.
Well, let's hear it. This is Tom Jones, What's New Pussycat?
What's new, pussycat? Whoa, 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 whoa. What's new, pussycat? Whoa, 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 whoa. Pussycat, pussycat, I've got flowers and lots of hours to spend with you. So go and powder your cute little pussycat nose. Pussycat, pussycat, I love you. Yes, I do. You and your pussycat knows. What's new, pussycat? Whoa, whoa, whoa. What's new, pussycat? Whoa, 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 whoa. Pussycat, pussycat.
That's Tom Jones, one of the recordings included on his new CD, Reloaded Greatest Hits, which is a mix of old and new material. Your career has been going strong for nearly 40 years. Was there ever a point in your career where you worried, it's ending, I'm on the verge of being washed up, it's going to be over really soon?
No, because my voice has always carried me through that. I mean, even when the records, you know, got a bit slim, you know, when I wasn't getting hit records, my live performances made up for it. People were coming to see me. So that's what kept me going. If the audiences had dwindled, if I had gone on stage and I wasn't doing business, then I would think I'm doing something wrong. You know, something is not happening here. But that never happened. You know, the audience. I've toured every year. You know, ever since I started, I've always gone out to the people, and thank God they've come to see me. So that's, you know, that's what's always given me confidence to keep doing it.
What about when you realized that a lot of the women throwing their panties at you were middle-aged? You know, did that make you feel old too, or older too, or make you feel like, you know, that it had become such shtick?
Well, it's because of the mixture. You see, it wasn't always that way. You see, the thing is, because of the media saying that, a lot of housewives, you know, come to see Tom Jones.
Right.
And throw their underwear. That was only a handful of people. There were a lot of younger people there as well, you know, and there were a lot of men, not only female. I mean, some of the write-ups that I was getting, some of the reviews, you would think that the only people in the audience were middle-aged housewives. There were middle-aged housewives there, but there were a lot of young girls there, a lot of young boys there. You know, there were a lot of older fellas there as well. So there's always been a big mixture of people. But I think it was because women had never reacted in that way before. That's what made it different. You know, teenagers, of course, you know, you get teenage idols and you get young girls screaming at the teenage idols. But I don't think women had ever done it before. So that's what they went for. That's what they, the write-ups were always about that. But they should have taken into consideration there was a lot of other people there as well.
Did you ever ask yourself why you? Why some of your following was middle-aged women who were doing things that middle-aged women hadn't done to performers before?
I think it's the masculinity, you know, because I was a man. This is what I've been told, anyway, you know, that I looked like a man. I didn't look like a boy, and they could relate to me. And men have told me that as well. You know, men have said, look, my girlfriend, you know, she digs you, and I don't mind because I, you know, I love the way you sing as well. And the same thing with husbands. You know, I've been told that if a woman likes somebody that the husband or boyfriend doesn't like, you know, who's a bit effeminate or, you know, not masculine enough, they don't like that. But in my case, you know, they said, you're a man's man as well. So there was no problem.
Well, we've been playing a bunch of your early hits. Let's hear something new, or a couple of years old, but pretty new, from your new CD. And this is called Sex Bomb. And it's you and Moose T, who I confess, I don't know. So you can tell me who Moose T is and how this record came to be.
Right. Well, Moose T is a German record producer, songwriter. And the big hit that he had before was Horny, Horny, Horny. It was a big dance record. Uh-huh. So then he wrote Sex Bomb with a lyricist called Errol Reynolds. And they sent me the demo on it and asked me what I'd like to do it. So I thought it was a very commercial-sounding song. So we just changed the lyrics slightly because they wanted me to sing, I'm a sex bomb and I can turn you on. So I said, you know, you're a sex bomb and you can turn me on. So I think...
Why did you make that switch?
Well, then it's for anybody. It's for everybody. You know, for anybody that thinks that they're a sex bomb. You know, I mean, any lady or any girl or any woman that, you know, you're a sex bomb and you can turn me on. But if I'm saying it, it's only me. You know, I'm a sex bomb, I can turn you on. I think it's a bit bragging a little too much. So we just reversed roles there. But then again, you know, a lot of kids that sing it, I don't think they even were aware of that. It's the chorus, you know, sex bomb, sex bomb. I mean, that's what they're getting. I don't think they were too concerned whether it's I'm a sex bomb or you're a sex bomb. We might have overthought it, but that's what happened anyway.
Well, it's very catchy. Here it is. This is Tom Jones, Sex Bomb.
Oh, baby. Yeah.
If you ever see me move through the night, aim gonna fire, shoot me right. I'm gonna like the way you fight. Now you found the secret code I use to wash away my lonely blues. Well, so I can't deny or lie, 'cause you're the only one to make me fly.
You know what you are? You are
sex bomb, sex bomb. Yeah. You're a sex bomb. Uh-huh. You can give it to me when I need to come along.
Give me
sex bomb, sex bomb. You're my sex bomb. And baby, you can turn me on.
That's Tom Jones, one of the recent tracks included on his CD, Reloaded Greatest Hits, a mix of old and new material. You, as we've discussed, have this very swarthy image. When you were young, you were in bed for a year. You had tuberculosis.
Mm-hmm.
How did a year of...
Well, it was two years.
2 years.
Mm-hmm.
How did 2 years of being sick, and you can tell me how old you were because I'm not sure.
Yeah, 12.
Right, okay.
I was 12 to 14.
Oh, just you know, as your voice is changing too, huh?
Well, yeah, going through puberty too.
Boy, I mean, that's a lot to go through at one time, particularly
exactly.
For a singer.
Yeah, to be locked up, you know, in at that age is, you know, seeing the girls playing in the street and not being able to go out is not only the girls, I mean all my friends, but, you know, that's when you start to notice girls, really.
Right.
Is at that time, so it was a very frustrating time for me.
Well, how did it affect your life to be sick for a couple of years, years that are turning points in every child's life?
Mm. Well, another thing was they told me that I shouldn't sing, you know, because I shouldn't do anything that I couldn't put any effort into anything, you know, I couldn't do anything physical, no physical activity. So I turned to then drawing. You know, I used to sketch a lot and paint a lot when I was a kid, so that's what. I put my talent, you know, into that. I had to do something to express myself, so I did a lot of sketches. But that was the terrible thing, was not being able to sing. But it was one. It did teach me a lesson, though. You see, something good came out of it, and it's not to take to take life for granted, because, you know, when you can play in the streets or you can play in the hills, you know, in Wales, most kids just take that for granted. But when it's taken away from you and you're bedridden for 2 years, it's I thought to myself then, when I get out of bed, once I can play again, you know, with the kids, and I can go wherever I want to go, I'll never complain about anything else as long as I live. And that's kept me. I remember being bedridden, and so that helped. It helped in a certain... And another thing, it stopped me going into the coal mines, because in Wales at that time, you see, a lot of people were going into... My father was a coal miner, and maybe I would have become a coal miner, but because I had tuberculosis, you know, on the lung, the doctor said, you know, you cannot work in a coal mine. So that was a blessing in disguise as well.
Did you see singing as an alternative to the mine world yourself?
Well, no, singing to me was a very natural thing to do. I wasn't thinking that it would sort of get me out of Wales or anything. I loved living in Wales. But it was a thing that singing was a thing that I loved to do. And I did think to myself when I was a child, you know, I thought, if I could do this as a profession, this would be fantastic. You know, this is what I want to do. Not to do, you know, have to do a job of work that you don't like, you know, in order to make money, which most people have to do in order to survive. You know, I thought, if I could do this, you know, I have a gift here, and if I could do it as a profession, then that would be, you know, that would be it for me. And thank God it turned out that way.
Well, I want to thank you so much for talking with us.
That's okay. My pleasure.
Tom Jones recorded late last year. Our big, bombastic, brassy, and trashy week continues tomorrow.